Our presentation today is actually going to be a panel discussion, including myself, Board President Kathy Converse, Ken Skog, Board Member Molly Plunkett, and John Wonderland. So we're going to make our ways up here. And we are going to be discussing some pretty significant proposed changes happening at our Association of Covenanted Communities, the UUA. I had sent out information about the proposed changes the other day, and now they're being passed out, so you can kind of take a peek if you haven't already looked at them. I also shared this a couple months ago when we first presented this to the congregation. So it shouldn't be new, but it's good sometimes to have a little reminder. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to spend just a minute or so kind of grounding us where we are in this work. So once I get through some of the history and the kind of where we are now, we'll turn it over to the panel and we'll get some feedback from the group. And then we'll talk about next steps and then we'll be done. So you can go to the next slide. Okay. So how did we get here? How did we get to this day, in this moment, in this faith tradition, in this church community, and with the idea that we're going to take a look at who we are as a faith tradition and consider making some updates? So it is, I have the wrong page here, there we go. Really quick. The Protestant Reformation, long, long time ago, the Roman Catholic Church had become the de facto sort of faith of the land, and the Protestant Reformation was kind of the first kickoff where a whole big group of people said, wait a minute, why is what you say right, and it doesn't make any sense to me. That began the whole Protestant protesting Reformation. This is a 60-second historical walk. Fast forward to the American Revolution and the concepts of the democratic ideal, remembering, if you will, that also included some concepts like manifest destiny and the doctrine of discovery. So let's ground ourselves in all of the history as well. Unitarianism evolved as part of the Protestant Reformation. One of the tenets of that was the idea that each individual was actually the best source of what is most true and meaningful as opposed to a central authority figure. And also around the same time, universalism emerged, rejecting the idea of Calvinist doctrine, which was we are all damned by God and gonna burn in hell unless we're one of the chosen. Universalism was grounded in the idea of universal love, and it still is one of the tenets of our faith today. The concept that revelation is not sealed came in through the humanist movement, the idea that the search for what is true and meaningful needs to be an ongoing process. And then in the 60s, the merger of Unitarianism and Universalism, which led to the creation of the current bylaws of those two organizations. All right. As required by those bylaws, which were created democratically by all the member congregations of the UUA, the current UUA board tasked a commission with studying the contents of Article 2, which is where our current principles and sources exist, and submitting a proposal of any suggested changes. The commission interviewed thousands of ministers, DREs, lay leaders, and youth representatives over the past several years. The web says they talked to 4,600 different people in those groups, which I did the math. That is a plus or minus 2%, the statistical thing, for the population of UUs that we have at 95%. Anyway, it was a well done, it was a big enough survey to sample the tradition is what I'm trying to say. Consistent themes were identified and shared with congregations for discussion and feedback at the end of last year. There was a group of Prairie folks, not these folks, but some of these folks and some others that have come on afterwards, that spent eight weeks deep diving into our history and where these documents came from and who we are and what the current state of the world is. An initial proposal was shared by the group, by that commission, and we took a look at that and we were like, this isn't quite ready for prime time. They offered some, they offered a lot of place for feedback. I went to one of those, I put in a piece of feedback which I think showed up in the changes, and I don't think it was me, I think what I said must have been amplified by 100 other people, right? So that's kind of how this process works. So that brings us to today. The group that initially met was much happier with the current iteration as opposed to the first iteration, although there is still, we realize that there is still some work to be done. So that gets us to this moment in time. And now I'm gonna sort of turn it over to the panel here. I may chime in if I have something to say because I've been involved with this group and doing the work as well. And I also have some notes from Karen Deaton, who's downstairs with the kids. And so I will be her voice, and she sent me some notes to say her perspective on some of these questions. So the first question I'd like to pose to the panel is, based on your review, do you have confidence in the process that is being undertaken to consider these updates? And what I want to say before I start this is, the beauty of this process is that you are going to hear a lot of different perspectives up here today. These folks have been spending a lot of time looking at this work, thinking about this work, Kathy and me and some of the others. Not everybody on this current group is up here today. There are more folks that have been looking at this, but there are as many perspectives as there are people. So just realize that you're going to hear different perspectives today. So who wants to take the first stab at answering that first question? Do you have confidence in this process?
I wanted to state that having been here a fairly long time, 30 plus years, as many others have, that I think historically, Prairie has, at points in time, depending on individual people who were very committed, has had some interest in information coming to us on a regular basis about what's happening within the UUA. But I think in general, certainly in the past decade or more, we really haven't been very diligent in listening to or finding out what's happening within UUA, and we haven't had as much activity relative to having GA delegates. And prior to the delegates going to the GA, finding out what's going to be voted on, what's happening, how that would affect us, how it affects other congregations. So my thought is that an important part of this process that we're taking on is for us as a Unitarian Universalist group to really know and understand what's happening throughout the other UUA groups. And maybe some of the things are foreign to what we're experiencing, but if it's what other people are experiencing, I think we need to know about it. So that's what's kind of kept me engaged in the process, is in some way maybe we can help other groups as well as considering what we're doing. The process taken, I'm comfortable with it because within the bylaws, it certainly did say that there needs to be intermittent look at what we say and what we do and what we believe. Prairie just went through this past year. We rewrote our own bylaws. We're just finishing writing all our policies and procedures, which our bylaws tell us to do. So in effect, we're all in the same step process right now that the overall UUA is. And I don't think it hurts to review things from time to time. Certainly our bylaws and policies and procedures were before we even had another building, so lots of things changed. So I think trying to hold it to the fact that hopefully through this we'll all be more informed and participatory in however we believe either direction in what the decisions the UUA is making.
Excuse me. So there, just to alert you, there is a period, we'll be discussing this at the end, but you can all be involved, so you might listen more acutely here when you realize that we're going to be asking for your input. And we have a period where our group will be encouraging you, all of you folks, to write comments which then our gathering will be taking and forwarding to the UUA. We have a period of time between now and the end of April to be collecting comments and then forwarding them. So think about that as we're speaking. Congestion. I'm going to read so I can be concise. Yes, I'm confident the process will allow for extensive discussion of the proposed changes. Thank you.
That's community right there. That was beautiful.
I understand that there will be opportunities to propose changes, and one will be for all of us to do that before April 30th. But even after that, all of those comments will go in. There will be discussion periods. We'll be able to follow. There will be amendments proposed before a vote in June. There will be a simple majority vote in June to agree to discuss the changes further for an entire year, during which I presume there will be opportunities for more changes. And then there will be a vote next, not this June, but the following June, that will require a two-thirds vote. So this process seems to be pretty rigorous to me. So, and I don't think we should look at these as being, you know, carved in stone. The draft that you see is carved in stone, with lots of opportunity for input and discussion. That's why I think the process is good.
I'm probably the Johnny come lately to this group, having been gone in the winter and participated really only in a single session of the group.
Stella? Okay. Now?
Yep.
Okay. I'm a real recent addition to the group and have some knowledge, I think, of processes, having looked at the UUA website and tried to pay attention to what was happening here. I have questions about how the group was composed that created the proposed changes. There's a picture of them on the UUA website. I'm not sure how they were selected, if they were volunteers, if they were recruited. I think the group from Prairie that was looking at changes to our bylaws in the fall was looking at an additional principle, and at least originally, and not at the wholesale replacement that we're being presented with now. And I don't know how much feedback, and Reverend Matt clearly knows that, went to UUA out of the original group that was formed. So there certainly was a lot of process. I guess I have some questions about it.
I also was John come lately. I unfortunately might be between some issues we were having and my schedule. I only joined the group just recently, but I am quite up to date on the goings in the UUA in the last couple of years, and I'm going to keep these talks quick because I have a statement I would like to read a little later.
Okay. All right. The only thing, well, let me add in Karen's comments, which I think are relevant. Karen says, I think the process was undertaken appropriately. Unfortunately, the distractions of pandemic and for Prairie, our remodel and gaps in staffing may have prevented many of us from engaging fully in the process earlier on. I'm glad there is still opportunity for feedback and review. And the only thing I'll add is that the thing I am most excited about, the thing that has emerged for me as the excitement, is the idea that there is something built into our bylaws, not necessarily to change who we are every 15 years, but to force us to look. And the conversations that are happening around this, around the country, or with our group, within this community, I think are a very, very important part of whether the things change or not, an important part of our faith tradition, making us look at who we are and what we believe every 15 years or so. All right, next question. What do you like about the draft proposed changes?
That's a tough one. I think a lot of us have struggled with wording. It's hard for me to know if the wording and the way it's presented is obviously a true reflection of the people that worked on it. Is this in fact a true reflection of a lot of members within the UUA? Is this a different direction and way of thinking and way of writing and expressing yourself from the original words. So I think it's been hard for all of us to take the original words, which, you know, our kids have memorized and we've taught in RE and we've had for a long time, to completely 100% change them to some people. And but I'm feeling that there's a lot of people that really felt that the original words didn't work for them, they didn't learn them, they weren't helping them explain to people what it meant to be a UU. It didn't explain why they were a UU. So I think we need to honor the people that are spending time on this and at least hear their opinion and hear what it is, that how they would like it changed. And then we have to think for ourselves, if in fact it's something we can live with, does it really change our day-to-day life as Unitarians? Or in fact, does it reflect a growing change within our country and community that we may not be witnessing here at Prairie, but certainly if you look into the history of UU churches that are currently now in a lot of the other states, they're facing a lot of problems and a lot of stress.
So once again, I'll read and then probably elaborate. I like that as an attempt, although imperfect, to have the UUA better hear the voices of lesser groups. Remember, there are 4,600 people they spoke to. And it isn't clear to me if this was a representative sample. If it's a representative sample, that makes sense even more powerful, as opposed to just selected groups somehow. The team preparing the draft, I think, heard from many people who are asking for greater recognition and support. In other words, lesser heard voices within the denomination were being heard by this team of people. And I think they are trying to represent what these lesser heard voices were telling them. I think there is a parallel, maybe some very rough parallel in the past, when Article 2 was changed, when women demanded that the elimination of patriarchal language in the article. So think about the idea of unheard voices, and how do we recognize them? How do we include them? To what degree are these new value statements likely to represent those voices? And do we trust the process to recognize those? And I did a crosswalk. I made myself a spreadsheet, which I do, looking at, you know, making a matrix of all of the current principles, the seven principles, and then going and seeing how each of the new values transferred, or to what extent they were represented in the new values. And I think in every single case, these new values our current principles are reflected in different ways in the new values. The thing that I saw, and this is probably an overgeneralization, is that in their inclusion, in the inclusion of our current principles into the new values, there was a call for greater sense of community, greater sense of listening, respect, concern. Just give you one example. There's a current principle, free and responsible search for truth and meaning. That sounds like I interpret that as being a very individualistic sort of search for truth and meaning. Others may have taken it other ways, but in the new value, I think that's discussed under pluralism. We celebrate that we are all sacred beings. I'm just reading what they have written. Diverse in culture, experience, and theology. We covenant to learn from one another in our free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We embrace our differences and commonalities with love, curiosity, and respect. So there's a call to, in this search for truth and meaning, we think about doing that in a community sort of way, as opposed to just lone individuals. So that's, in a nutshell, why I think we should be considering these carefully.
I think everybody?
Yep.
Okay. My first thought is there's been a lot of emphasis, I think, at the UU level and local levels that change is good. That's the first thing we saw up on our screen, change is constant. And that's part of the bylaws to look at what our tenets of belief are. But in fact, the principles that all of us are familiar with and like, vague as they may be, were established in 1960. So that's 63 years that they've been in place. That's most of my life, I'm happy to say. They were revised in 1984 and 1985. I don't know how extensive the revisions were, if they were language related to, you know, male, female pronouns. But so they've been with us for a long time. And then my question is, what motivates a change so massive at this point in our evolution as a faith community? And the structure's changed. They're no longer beliefs, they're values. That's a whole discussion too. What's the difference between beliefs and values? Is that important? I started looking at it and I thought, this is too much for me right now. Each new value is also tied to a covenant. And I know Reverend Matt would say, and other ministers as well, that covenanting is a core part of Unitarianism. It's not part I was familiar with and paid a great deal of attention to, and maybe that's my ignorance and obliviousness, but it's embedded in everything we see now. Every value has a covenant, which is a solemn pledge that you do or you do something. Solemn pledge that you do something, you take some action. That worries me, you know? What does that lead to? Some might say accountability, which is good, but who holds us accountable and for what purpose? The original seven principles, I looked at some description of them, and it's interesting, if you want a quick review of Unitarianism, there's always Wikipedia, and it's like, wow, I never knew that. But it lays things out pretty succinctly. Some more familiar with us might dispute some of the facts. But at any rate, we live these principles within a living tradition of wisdom and spirituality drawn from sources as diverse as science, poetry, scripture, and personal experience. The principles are not dogma or doctrine, but rather a guide for those of us to choose to join and participate in Unitarian Universalist communities. I feel that the current structure is more dogmatic in the covenant structures of it, and more top-down, which, like many people who come to Unitarianism, are fleeing other dogmatic doctrinaire religions. And what the initial appeal is that Unitarianism is not or has not been that. I see this as a change.
Yeah, well, the question is what do we like about the changes? I'm the resident voice of opposition in this. What do I like about the new changes? Absolutely nothing. And I'll explain shortly.
I just wanted to add I one of the things that I'm uncomfortable with is the use of the word love, which is profusely used throughout them, and I find that a term that's, it has a meaning to me, but it seems to be currently a very overused term, and I'm not quite sure what that word love means in that context, and I guess I would prefer to see it not quite as often.
Can I respond to that?
I had the same reaction Kathy did, taking love as it's at the center of the diagram, surrounded by the values. And I had, my first reaction was, well, love has lots of meanings, and what meaning do they mean there? And then I had a flip in my mind to my understanding of what that meant. My flippant understanding was that these values are the expression of what this group thinks love is in the context of the Unitarian Church. It isn't that we need to define love in some independent, separate sort of way. These values are the expression within our church of the meaning of love. We don't need to go to love and try to define that independent of these values for our congregation. That's my interpretation.
All right. Let me just interject Karen's response to this. She says, there's a little more emphasis on taking action, a little less on just stating our beliefs. I like the statement of inspirations, which is more inclusive of cultures and traditions other than Western religions. The new version better describes my personal relationship with the tradition I grew up in. And she said, what would these changes call us to do differently? The challenge to address systemic injustice, not just personal beliefs, is explicit. This may help us maintain focus on different difficult work. So we're doing okay on time. We've got to get through, you know, what would this call us to do differently, which I think we've started to touch here, and also what parts are you struggling with, which, John, I know you want some I know you want some time. So any thoughts from the panel on what these changes would call us to do differently? Ken? Ken's looking for the mic.
I'm not sure that the for me, I'm not sure the term is differently, that we would be doing things differently, but perhaps it'll help us create a larger understanding of UU, other UU groups and UU members, and particularly those struggling right now with understanding. And I've felt that some of the things I've read were really very sad to hear from different members and ministers of the way they were treated within UU, their UU groups, and I was very shocked to think that there was that active discrimination and unkindness toward people who were trying to join groups. I mean, most people, when they come here, they say they want to join because we seem to be a friendly group of people, but it's sad to think that if someone were to come in and feel that we really didn't want them here, we didn't want them here for some physical reason of their presence or their beliefs. And I think we need to keep in mind, or it's been making me keep in mind, that Prairie is a very special place and we're all very kind to each other in general. But I think there are a lot of other situations that are quite different. And if we as a group can help some of those other groups achieve a higher level of caring and understanding, that is part of our responsibility.
I think it will ask congregations to listen and support those who are not currently being heard and supported. My guess is that congregations now vary in their degree of listening and support, so I think Prairie is somewhere on that spectrum, and certainly not at either end. One great example for me personally was, in terms of listening and support, was the program we had on Interweave. I think we've structured that very well, where people were able to discuss LGBTQ issues in a way that was extremely respectful for them and also for all of us who were listening. I thought that was a really great example for me of that type of listening. And in turn, support. I think I certainly will think more carefully about the things I heard. So that's an example for me of how we may be asked to change. There are probably others that will interpret that may be asked to do even more change, but I'm not sure.
I don't think I know what the a new set of values and covenants would mean. And that's part of what worries me.
So John Wunderlin, he, him. I didn't really want to speak up today. I genuinely like and respect our soon-to-be former minister, but we disagree on the direction our organization is heading. Our current Article 2 principles and sources are not perfect. I've always found them a bit vague, but good guides. And were actually the thing that convinced me to join First Unitarian Society over 20 years ago. I think it would be perfectly reasonable to make some changes. However, this incarnation is not perfectly reasonable. For those of you blissfully unaware of the changes happening at the top of the UUA, let me give you a brief summary. The book, White Fragility, by Robin DiAngelo, has apparently been embraced by the leaders of our organization as our new holy text and inform the changes we are seeing. They want to flush out racism and white supremacy within our organization. Personally, I thought our first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of every person, makes it quite clear we are an organization that opposes racism in every form. The UUA leaders rather see white supremacy in every nook and cranny of society, including our organization, and want to root it out at any cost. And the result, to me, is a growing evangelical adherence to the ideas of DiAngelo's work. Some symptoms of this include the removal of feedback portion of UU World. I'm not sure if anybody noticed that. The expulsion of several ministers who are opposed to the methods being employed, and the resignation of many more ministers in support of those ministers. The attempted removal of bylaws allowing a single candidate to be put forward for UUA president, and the subsequent ignoring of the bylaws. As you notice, this year we have only a single candidate for president. Supposedly another candidate came forward but resigned, but we only have one candidate for president. So there's not an election, it's going to be an anointment. The change policy of potential non-UUA approved candidates. So some people could give themselves up as a possible president for UUA, but they insisted on, they changed the rules so you had to have 50 member congregation boards approve any candidate with about 6 weeks to get this done. And anyone who served on a UU board knows that it's a laughable requirement, couldn't be done. The silencing of dissenting voices by calling anyone opposed to these tactics a racist white supremacist by white fragility inspired evangelical ministers. You should see some YouTube videos, they're pretty entertaining. And then the banning of Minister Todd Eckloff's book, The Gadfly Papers, subsequently making it the best-selling UU book of all time. The Article 2 changes, in my view, are a fairly weak implementation of what George Orwell in his book 1984 called Newspeak. It includes 7 terms in a fairly primitive graphic, followed by 1 possible interpretation of those terms. To me, these terms are so vague that they are completely meaningless other than as a blank canvas that will allow the fundamentalist takeover of our organization to continue. You will notice the elimination of free and responsible truth for search and meaning, the elimination of any mention of democratic principles, the elimination of references to humanism, the renewed and nearly singular focus of anti-racism terms such as repairing damage, equity, dismantling racism, diverse, multicultural, beloved community, which is a reference to Martin Luther King's speech, all wrapped in pseudo-religious words like covenant, which is included in nearly every single paragraph. I escaped Catholicism and don't really want to see you go to Catholicism. Penny Eiler tried to alert us to these changes when she left Prairie, but at the time I thought she was being too alarmist. After doing a lot of reading, including the book White Fragility, The Gadfly Papers, John McWhorter's book Woke Racism, and after joining the Fifth Principle Project, I no longer feel she was overly alarmist. In my view, the UUA is moving in the direction of an evangelical organization with a singular focus on white fragility. Rationalists need not apply. There is a just-formed organization headed by Minister Eckloff called the North American Unitarian Association, which is becoming an opposition group to the changes at the UUA. I will be joining this group. I stand for rationality, humanism, and against the evangelical takeover of UUA by the current illiberal leadership. I stand with Todd Eckloff and dozens of other ministers who have either been disfellowshipped or have left the UUA. I stand with Penny Eiler, and I stand in opposition to Article 2 changes.
Thank you, John. I very vigorously asked John to make sure that he was here today because I want to make sure everybody is aware that we are not trying to squelch any different opinions. We want to hear all the different opinions so the group can be informed of all the different perspectives. I have many comments.
I appreciate it.
I wanted to respond. I looked up to Molly's question about where the panel came from. The first, it was recruited and selected by the UUA board. The UUA board is democratically elected at General Assembly, made up of members, lay leaders, people from congregations just like this. There's about five ministers and I think about seven or eight, again, congregational leaders from around the country, democratically elected at GA, and they went out and did what we boards do and our nominating committee does. Would you like to take on this impossible task? No. Would you like to take on this impossible task? No. Until they found people that were willing to do it. And they did find, I know there was one youth who said, I grew up with these principles, but I'm honored to be able to kind of look at them and make sure they still fit. And she had to wrestle with, she was on the team going, I guess we want to change. So, yeah. So I don't want to rebut. I want to just keep going. So the last question, and I want to make sure we save time for questions, for discussion, if people want to talk. At this point, would you recommend voting to continue reviewing this proposal, or do you think we should just keep things the way they are? Let me just note that, as a reminder, this year's vote at GA, of which we're going to be able to send three delegates, is do we want to continue researching this for the next year or not? That requires a simple majority vote, 50 plus 1%. And the next year, to be able to actually ratify it, there's going to be a whole year of discussion, a whole year of review of all the comments that get put in over the next couple of months, and enhancements, a year of discussion. And then next year's GA, is it two-thirds or three-quarters? I can't remember. I'm blanking right now. It's a much higher threshold to actually change this. So the entire, three-quarters, basically, of the entire association needs to come together and say, yes, these are the words that we think makes us to take us forward, and these are what we're going to live with today. I think for me, this is the most, perfect exploration of democracy as I can possibly imagine. I don't suspect I'm going to like all the words that make it through, but I am going to have faith in the process because there is nothing coming from above. All of this comes from the congregations. That's my two cents. All right. So at this point, would you recommend voting to continue reviewing the proposal? I would propose, my vote is that another year to continue having conversations like this and forcing us to look at and to have these discussions safely in under a covenant, which I know is not a word you like. The covenant that I reply to all the time or that I hold up all the time is the covenant that this community put in place before I came here, which I just hold up because I think it's an excellent covenant. And so I would say I would love to have us keep having this discussion and really look at who we are and what we believe collectively.
I also will support that we continue this reflection and discussion for as long as possible, even if it's more than a year, that would be fine with me. I do think that my experience being a GA rep last year and looking at candidates who were trying to run for trustees and run for the board, I do think the weight is always going to be on the selected group versus the people who try to run. And I think that because of that, it's really important that we honor this April date, and we'll get the dates out to you. There's an April date in which we can get comments back. And then there's going to be three Zoom meetings during May, GA meetings, which anybody can go on to discuss these three different discussions of this process during May. And I would encourage, you can go to GA on Zoom now. I would encourage any and all of you to seriously consider it. If you can't travel, it's certainly cheaper to do it by Zoom. But if you're not comfortable with these changes, as many of us aren't, there's only one way to change it, and that's you've got to speak up. If you just sit and do nothing, it's just going to go through.
Amen to that. I'd just like to suggest what I don't see in this process is an option to say, no, what we're said is, what we're offered is an option to critique what's being proposed. But I see nowhere an option that's being channeled to just say, no, this isn't what we want to do at this point.
my reading of the form, I mean, there's nothing preventing you putting in text saying no in the response form. So they're asking for specifics on changes, but if you wanted to say no, there's no way to stop you. So I had one of the parts that John did a lot of struggling there with his points. I just want to say one thing. I'm concerned about this matter of democratic process too. And there are words in the new values saying inclusive democratic process. So I guess I'd like further clarification on what that is suggesting in the way of modifying the democratic process. That's not probably not the right word. And I could go on. I think there are some ways to modify have a democratic process be more inclusive without changing the fact that at some point you take a majority vote. I think there are ways to be more inclusive and keep the democratic vote. And certainly, based on what I heard earlier, yes, I'm in favor of having this go on for further discussion.
And ignoring what I just said, please respond if there's something put out asking for your views on this so that whatever comes out of Prairie is representative of us. Please do.
Yes. Unfortunately,
you get to be last.
Unfortunately, I'm not able to make the GA. I'm working at a music camp all of June, so I'm not going to be able to attend. But yeah, I just want to echo what everyone else said. Get engaged in this process because there are big changes happening that you may or may not like at the top.
Okay, there you go. All right, let's give a round of applause for our panelists who did a wonderful job. Thank you. And
to me, some of these changes are potentially causing us to redirect all of our energies into that area and possibly neglect things like climate change, and that's my concern. I'm wholly against racism. I'm wholly in support of marginalized people. Just want to be clear on that. But my concern is the dilution of our organization to only focus on that one topic.
I would say what I've tried to do is first bring the information and the facts and generate discussion so that the conversation can happen where it is. I certainly have very strong beliefs, and I can tell you that those beliefs have come more from conversations and things that I've seen happen to colleagues, especially colleagues with marginalized identities that have gone into congregations that look no different than this one, and the horrible experiences that they have had and the personal conversations that I have had and the fact that they are asking me to get behind and use my voice as someone that has a lot of privilege to support their thing. So that's where kind of my personal side comes from. But at the end of the day, I just continue to remind, y'all are my boss. The UUA is a conglomeration of all of these different congregations, and it is a democratic process. Is the democratic process perfect? No. If you don't like something, it's your job to get involved, right? It's active democracy. So I think John is a good example. There's something that he doesn't like. He's been activated, and he's going to be as active as he can. There are a lot of other people with a lot of different perspectives that are also activated, and it usually is the people that are most impacted or feel that they're most impacted that end up showing up and changing the direction of things. So I'm just trying to sort of pick a side and support while loving and supporting everybody that has different perspectives, because that's what I'm called to do by my faith. This is the kind of discussion we need to keep having over the course of the next month. And we will put out an email with additional resources to read so that you can become educated on this if you've not already dug deep. The thing that I would propose, I'll remind you of something that I learned along the way in seminary. The person that was evaluating me said, "You're one of the most self-aware people I've ever met." And remember, I got all pumped up. And they said, "But be careful, because the most self-aware people have the biggest blind spots, because they can't imagine not having looked at something." And I can tell you from experience that the biggest lesson I have learned is all about all my blind spots. remember, as you are getting passionate about this, think about how central these concepts have been in your life, how central they have been to your living and your faith. And if you say, well, I don't really think about them much, then really think about how passionately you need to come at this process, because I know that there are people for whom this has been a life-saving tradition, whose faith of origin has shunned them and told them that they are not worthy. And they come here and they need a faith tradition, and this is the place that has saved them. So just keep that in mind as your passions flare about what you think the thing should be. Remember how passionate you are about it, and I would say try to gauge your level of demand on how things should be based on your true answer to that.